Welcome to the teaching ministries of Pastor Joseph Victor. For more information, visit www.worldliberationministriesli.org.
I exalt all thee. I exalt thee. I exalt thee. Sense to you, that it will impact your life, that you will receive it with good heart, and your heart is receptive and is making a difference in your life. In the name of Jesus, Father, we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we have prayed. You may be seated. God bless you. I just want to welcome everyone specially to today's service. Thank you for coming. Thank you, instrumentalists, musicians. Thank you for coming. Why don't you look at your neighbor and say thank you for being here. Tell your neighbor, say thank you for the encouragement. Do you know that your neighbor being here is an encouragement to you? Just imagine you're the only one here. You will still do it if you are a dogged human being, but you won't be encouraged. But if you see somebody else, you are encouraged. Hallelujah. Tell anybody, say, I'll bring somebody else to church on Thursday. Hallelujah. Welcome to church. I was out for two services, and I watched you guys. You guys held it down. Thank you very much. God bless you all. Hallelujah. And for those that went extra mile to make sure it happened well, may extra mile blessing fall upon you. Hallelujah. And everybody, may extra mile blessing fall upon you in the name of Jesus. Okay, so today is our Vision 2023, part 2. You know, I was just trying to see what does God want us to say? What does God want us to say? How do we go about it? And so on and so forth. And we are going to go unconventional way. Thank you. I know the so far, but I just don't know the word. I know how it sounds, but I just don't know the word. Yeah, so we're going to go that route. That's how God wants us to go. All right? But it will all come back to make sense to us. Just preparing your mind. First Samuel chapter 17. We're going to read a whole chapter. I think it's up to 50 something. But I'm going to go as fast and as quick as I can so that it's making sense. So if you don't mind, you can put it on the screen for me. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Thank you. So this is talking about David. David, who has said to you that you will not prosper? Who has said to you that you're not able? Who said to you? Why are you thinking that you're not able? Why? Why are you thinking that you're not able? You're not able to accomplish. You started something and it looks like, medicine is too hard. Who said that it's too hard? Who said you can't finish it? Who? Who has threatened you? Who has discouraged you from thinking that you can't succeed? From thinking that you can't finish what you started? Who? Who have the power? 1 Samuel 17. Now the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle. And were gathered at Succoth, whatever that was, which belongs to Judah. They encamped between Succoth and Azekah in Ephes-Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together. And they encamped in the valley of Elah. And drew up in battle array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel on a mountain on the other side, with a valley between them. And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines, named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. How many of you know what 6 cubits is? 6 times 6. I'll be that 6 cubit now. So just imagine somebody that tall, raising it. Somebody that's even 8 feet and a little bit wide. If the person comes, just like Toby. Toby's not 8 feet. But Toby is taller than everybody here. And you see how wide he is. Just imagine he's now going to the gym. Imagine, are you going to the gym? Maybe that's why. You'll have a broad shoulder like me. But just imagine somebody like Toby. Maybe you guys have an altercation outside. Antonio, imagine somebody like Toby outside. You don't know him before. And he now comes. Even if strength is from the inside, not on the outside. But won't you shake a little bit? How many people know Pastor God's gift? The very tall man that came. Just imagine him. You people don't know each other before. And you people have an altercation on the street. Maybe car hit car or something happened and he comes up, even if strength is not of the physical, it's not of the outside, it's of the mind, you know, but you will shake a little bit. Then just imagine, before you now start gathering momentum to actually fight him, then just imagine somebody who's 6 cubit tall, and the person that's 6 cubit tall cannot be this slim, like this microphone. Your height and your width kind of balances up so that you can be a human being, you know. So just imagine somebody who's 6 cubits. That's 6 times 6 times 6. If that serves me right. But he was very tall. That's what the Bible was saying. He had bronze helmet on his head. This very Goliath man. And he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. We don't know how heavy this is. But we know it's very heavy. If they were using pounds and kilograms, maybe we'll be able to know. But just know that it was very heavy. That's why they're putting it there. And he had bronze armor on his legs and a bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels, and a shield bearer went before him. Then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, "Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine and you the servant of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. There's no point Soldiers fighting soldiers. Don't worry, I will take the loss. I will take the win for my people. Just send me your strongest men. Let's settle this man to man. If he is able to fight me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When King Saul, and all Israel heard this, the entire nation, the whole America, just imagine that. Just imagine Putin is threatening America and says, why are we all trying to fight each other? Just send me Biden. You know that they have won us, be that. Anyway, that was a side note. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid, including Saul. Saul was afraid too. Now, David was the son of that Ephratite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and who had 8 sons, and the man was old, advanced in years in the days of Saul. The 3 oldest sons, Jesse, had gone to follow Saul to the battle. The names of his 3 sons who went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, next to him Abinadab, and the 3rd Shammah. David was the youngest, and the 3 oldest followed Saul. Let's start our lesson from here. David was who? The youngest. And the 3 oldest, what? Followed Saul. They might have told you that before he gets to you, this set of people will have to eat first. They might have told you you cannot succeed if the ones before you have not succeeded. Tell them it's a lie. Your success, your progress, don't have nothing to do with another person. It's an individual race. Those plans that you have made this year, the success of those plans don't have nothing to do with anybody. Even the people who promised you that they are going to help you, it doesn't have anything to do with them. Because if they are not alive, you will still make it. You can still succeed without them. But go back to 14, please. David was the youngest, and the 3 oldest followed Saul. You can keep going. But David occasionally went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and evening. Goliath kept going to threaten these guys. Kept going back there to threaten them. Then Jesse, their father, said to his son David, take now for your brothers an ephah of this dried grain and these 10 loaves, and run to your brothers at the camp, and carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of their thousands, and see how your brothers fare, and bring back news of them. So David was the guy making sure that they are still alive and taking food to them. Now Saul and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. So David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with a keeper, and took the things and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the camp as the army was going out to fight and shouting for the battle. So they already started fighting. For Israel and the Philistines are drawn up in battle array, army against army. Nobody was able to come and face Goliath. So they wanted to just do it parakbo, you know. Before we kill 20, maybe Goliath will just say, let's not fight anymore. And David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper, the person that will hold the supply, ran to the army and came and greeted his brothers inside the fight. He wasn't scared. Brother and sister, whatever your plan was for this year, whatever your goal was, we are in July. It might be looking like, can I still meet up with this thing? Don't be scared. Don't be worried. That would be the word. Don't be worried. Then as he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistine. And he spoke according to the same words. So David heard the words. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. Everybody ran away from Goliath. So the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel." So taxes has been there since day one. It didn't just start with America or England. Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, "What shall be done for the man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel?" You know, not that he didn't hear, but he wanted to be sure. Like, because, you know, he was so confident. He had too much confidence that this one, you know, like I told you now, if somebody who was that tall came to fight you in the streets, initially, you will feel some type of way, right? But if you know that, this guy, no matter how big he is, I can still take him down. You'll be very confident. That's what David. Then David spoke to the man, and you'll see why he was confident. Not because he was strong enough. "What shall be done for the man who kills the Philistine and takes away his reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine?" Start from there. What is that situation? What is that goal? What is that challenge that looks like it's going to stop you from your goal, achieving your goal this year? "For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" What is that challenge? What is it that can stop me from achieving my purpose, from getting what I need to get to be done? What is that? Whom them born? Who is that person? How strong can that person ever be? And the people answered him in this manner, saying, "So shall it be done for the man who kills him," whatever they have said. Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David. One, it could be, look at this guy. You want our father to now blame us that we let you go and fight? That could be one, because of the love for him. The second one could be, look at this idiot. You have come again. Are you here? You have come again. You want to come and show yourself. They will just kill you for nothing. Your power no reach here. Are you still here? Two things. One, it could be because of love and because they don't want to be chastised. The second one could be because of envy. Wow, you have come here again. You have gotten here again. Look at him. Look at him. Are you still there? You have gotten here again. What are you come to do now? You have come to show yourself. Are you the only one that knows everything? Are you the only one that can do everything? So his elder brother, their firstborn, Eliab, was very angry with him. Only God knows why. But it could be two things. And he said, "Why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? Are you done?" I remember when they used to tell us, well, not us, I wasn't part of them. When they used to tell them, "Are you done selling envelope today?" So let me give you the story. So in the 90s, early 90s, if you were not born by the early 90s, bow your head. Let's pray. In the early 90s, things were a little shaky for my parents because of this call that we are in. So because of this church that we are in. And we used to beg. I remember when they used to beg my uncles to come and eat in the house. They used to beg them. Abi now. They used to beg them that the food will spoil. People, please come and eat. Then things now became not, we're not begging them to come and eat again. You know, and then God gave my mom an idea for how to make money for that time. And one of the ideas included selling envelope to people going to church. Because then there was a teaching on why will you squeeze money to God, put it in an envelope. And then we haven't started printing envelope for members. So people had to go and buy envelope. So then it was 25 envelope in a pack. If you buy the pack, they sell it to you for 5 naira. They use naira in Nigeria. And then if you sell each one, it's going to be 1 naira each. See, I remember, I'm a very good businessman. So if you buy a pack and you sell 1 naira each, how much did you make? How much did you make, Isioma? You don't know how much you made. No, you made 20 because 5 is for the capital. But 25 minus 5. So with the 25, you can buy another 5 packs and then 50 pool the money. All right? So then we used to assist. Somebody please help that young man there. Then we used to assist. Well, we did not assist. If we don't sell, how will we make the money to eat? Can only have sell the envelope. So all the children were 20 in numbers. I can't remember how many we were, that's why. But my father and mother, they used to house the whole village in the house. So all of us, we went to sell envelope. Everybody went to sell envelope. Me, my brothers, my sisters, my cousins. You know, I don't know if friends were part. I don't think friends were living with us at the time, but so we'll go and sell. So I remember then, they didn't talk to me that way. People have always respected me, or maybe they've always seen me as a big man. You know, even when my mother used to give me $20 so that car will not stop on the way. People thought, when I take the $20 now, go and visit people, I want to buy Chinese, and I pay for the Chinese, they'll start telling me, Joe Blue. They don't know that it's the money they dash me that I used to come and spend. You know, so they didn't tell me that, but I remember one time, two of my brothers were watching at the notice board, and one of the teachers, Uncle George or Uncle Joe, one of them, said, "What are you doing there? Are you not selling envelope today?" That's the same thing. David's brother Eliab did to David. He was angry. "You have come here again. Are you not taking care of the sheep today? What are you doing here?" And he said, and listen, those people that asked them that question, my brother, go and check them. Go on. You can, if you know them and know them, you'll be able to tell the difference. The difference is clear now. Now, Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David, and he said, "Why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride." Have you seen it? They would not say, "Do you have pride too much? What are you doing here? Only you think you can succeed?" By, you know, "and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle." That means those two examples I gave you, it was the second one. It was envy. It was, "So you want to come here again and come and collect star. Him is afraid to fight Goliath too. Small boy, I want to come and help you fight Goliath, and you are still harassing him. They want to come and collect star over you, that you are the senior. I am the senior. I am the one that's supposed to, oh yeah, go and fight Goliath now. Let them cut your throat." And David said, "What have I done now? Is there not a cause? Is there not a reason for me to be here?" Then he turned from him towards, go back there, please. Where are we reading now? 30, thank you. "Then he turned from him towards another and said the same thing. And these people answered him as the first one did." We read this one already. "Now when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. Then David said to Saul, 'Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with the Philistine.'" He was sure. He's sure. He was too sure for him. That is the attitude you should have towards your goal this year. That goal that you feel like, it's July already. Can I still make it? That is the attitude you should have. "And Saul said to David, 'You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth and he a man of war from his youth.' But David said to Saul, 'Your servant used to keep his father's sheep.'" You see, those little trainings that you have had so far, those little things that you have, those hurdles you have crossed, they were preparing you for such a year as 2023. "But David said to Saul, 'Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lions and bears. Who is Goliath? And this uncircumcised Philistines will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Now, see, he has defied the armies of the living God. Remember that what God wants from you is what? To succeed. I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be what? In good health as your soul prosper. God wants you to what? To succeed. What gives joy? God give God joy. What gives God pleasure is your success. So if you're not succeeding, go back to that previous verse, please. 36. If you're not succeeding, then that challenge has defiled you of the living God. So the question where God is bringing us to today is, what is that challenge? Who is that person that says you cannot achieve your goal this year? Who is that person? What is that challenge? Who is that spirit? Tell everybody, they're not rich. How do you say it in Patois? Is it Patois? Jamaican language. That is, they are not rich. Them no rich. That's it. Say it in like the accent. Them not rich. Them not rich. Who is that? Where? How? Where? Where? Where are they? Where are they? They are not enough. Let them go and plenty come. How do they say that in Yoruba? Call up with Sewa. Let them go and gather more momentum and come. They're not rich. They have not rich. What is that challenge? You see, it's unconventional. I will have come here and give you steps to how to continue. But God doesn't want us to go that route this year. Your servant has killed both lions and bears. And this uncircumcised Philistine, this uncircumcised challengers will be like them. Seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. 37, please. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. So I want you to remember your previous wins, those little wins, how God saw you through. Just imagine me now. I go to the doctor and he say, I'm going to die next week. Just imagine it. Don't you know that that's not going to happen? Because I've gone through tough situations and I came out of it by the grace of God. So I will just be remembering, well, God that saved me from that one will save me from this one. That's what you should think. Reason about it. That everything that you have gone through before and God helped you, remember, it's time to remember. Remember it now. Remember this year, remember it. Remember it. Anytime you want to lose hope, anytime you want to give up, remember that he did it before. There's a song that said, he who did it before, he will do it again. Same God right now. Same God back then. He's the one that did it before. He's going to do it again. Don't be dismayed. Don't be discouraged. That goal will still be done. That problem, that challenge will still be solved. He has been solving it since. He will not leave this one unsolved. I don't know who I'm speaking to. I know I'm speaking to everybody, at least almost everybody. So Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with this. The methods you're going to use to accomplish your goals this year are not the conventional methods. I'm speaking to you. Listen to me. The methods you're going to use to accomplish your goals this year, the what you have written since January that you wanted to accomplish, is not going to be the conventional methods. They were going to go to fight with the swords and piers and shields, but that would have made David fail. He had to go unconventionally. God is going to give you ideas, place ideas in your head that are not conventional. Brothers and sisters, follow it. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones, unconventional things. Even house fall on people And they recover small children that are still alive. But it took small 5 stones, unconventional methods. Tell me, say unconventional methods. 5 spoons from the brooks and put them in a shepherd bag, in a pouch, which he had, and his sling was in his hands. And he drew near to the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David. And the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good-looking, very young, small boy. You know, that challenge, that person, that people might be looking at you like, oh, look at this small little brother that's trying to challenge us. Maybe when you now, when you have been charged today, you come out charged. That thing will be looking at you like, what's this one doing? What's small children doing? So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give you your flesh to the birds. Give your flesh to the birds and the earth of the earth and the beasts of the fields. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. Let's read that part, the next part together. I want to go. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Now, I tell all of you something about divine ideas. Divine ideas. And people that have been around me for a while, people I speak to about my life, they can tell you that there are things, there are moves I make that I don't explain. I don't know what I'm doing until I've gotten to halfway and I'm like, okay, that is why I did it. Why? Because I don't trust in horses and I don't trust in chariots. There's a song that says, some may trust in horses, some may trust in chariots, but we will trust in the name of our Lord. I trust in God. I always say this all the time. I don't know anything. If you break this in my head, you will not see anything inside. You only see skulls and blood and bone marrow. Nothing at all except from that. But I trust God. I derive strength from God. Go back to 45, please. But I come to you, the B part, in the name of the Lord of hosts. David didn't come because he killed bears and lions alone. That was just remembering the win. He came. So those are your goals this year that you have arranged, but it's looking kind of difficult. Go to them. Go and accomplish them in the name of our Lord. The God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Keep going, verse 46. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you and take your heads from you. And this day I will give the carcass of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Let me tell you something. They say, don't talk, what if, oh? Brothers and sisters, if David did not say it, he wouldn't have achieved it. Don't be afraid. Be doing this thing in secret. I'm not saying go and share your secret to everybody. I'm saying when you want to confront a situation, when you want to confront a challenge, don't be scared. Say it. Say in the name of Jesus, I accomplished this and I accomplished that. And what you need to kick it off with your words. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword. He doesn't save by somebody who know more. And spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. So it was when the Philistines arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran towards the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand in a bag and took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead. One stone. He didn't even use the five, only one. So that the stone sank into his forehead. And he fell. Let's be honest. You see how Goliath was. He had a helmet on his head, on his shoulder, on his hand. Even if he didn't, how strong was little David that he would sling a stone? And remember, everybody know what catapult is, right? Catapult even have like a rubber that if you pull hard enough, the stone will still not bore into anybody's head. You'll just give them cocoa. Now, a sling can be likened to a catapult, but I think a catapult will have more force and probably will have more precision. Even if David has been like master in slinging. But still, look at it. He says, that means there was another force that was pushing the stone. It wasn't just David's strength. That's why I always, we pray this prayer. We say, we do little, we gain much. We do little, we gain much in the name of Jesus. Keep praying that prayer. Do little, gain much. Because when you do little and you're expected to gain much, God is adding. That's why I know that there is a rule. There's a normal principle. There's a normal guideline to how to make it in life. But there is another supernatural that can push that small thing that you're doing. Then David put his hand in his back and took out a stone and he slung it and struck Philistine in his forehead so that the stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistines with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. No sword. Therefore, David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of its sheath, and killed him and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they did what? They fled. Once you are able to conquer that one that is so solid that you think, this one will take me down, this one will make me not succeed, other ones will just come, follow suit. Now the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines as far as the entrance of the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell along the road and to Sharam, even as far as Gath and Ekron. Then the children of Israel returned from chasing the Philistines and they plundered their tents. The same children of Israel that were afraid. David helped them out. The small boy that came with pride. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem. But he put his armor in his tent. Keep going. Just want one more lesson and we can move on. When Saul saw David going out against the Philistine, he said to Abner, the commander of the army, Abner, whose son is this youth? Guess what? When there is a big gain in achieving your purpose. There is a big gain in achieving your aim, your goal in life. Because a lot of people have tried it and did not achieve it. Be strong. Be courageous. Keep at it. Keep on keeping on. Keep pushing. Because at last, apart from that gain that you are looking, the world will call for you. Look at it. Abner, whose son is this guy? Why? Because he has done something. He has achieved. He was dogged. He wasn't afraid of how big that challenge was. And Abner said, as your soul lives, O king, I do not know. So the king said, inquire whose son this young man is. This was a guy that nobody knew. But now they want to inquire of him. Do you want people to inquire of you? Do you want people to inquire of you? Achieve your purpose. Just achieve your purpose. Those goals you have set for yourself, achieve it. And see if people will not try to figure out who you are. They will find you. They will find you. Then as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, whose son are you, young man? So David answered, I am the son of your servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite. I think that's it, right? The last lesson here is, after you have achieved, after you have been dogged and you have stayed on, after you achieve, there's a bigger reward, even a bigger one. A bigger one. You know, the Bible says that, they that are diligent. See that man diligent in his doing. He will what? Sit with kings. He will eat with kings, not ordinary people. That's what happened with David. He was diligent at what he was going to do. But what is our emphasis today? Who is that person? Who is that challenge that says you can't achieve your goal? They are not, they never reach. They're not rich. They're not rich. They never reach. You will achieve your goal and add Jireh on top in the name of Jesus. Whatever you are set this year to achieve, you are achieving them, you are adding extras in the name of Jesus. I know I'm speaking to everybody, at least 99%. Because God doesn't lie. Philippians 4:13 now. This was supposed to be our anchor scripture. But I like the way we ran down this story. This should be your mindset. This should be your cogitation. You know, I didn't grow up like this. This is not how I was born. I wasn't born with all these words in my mouth or in my mind, in my heart. I also got a hold of them somewhere along the line of my life. And this particular scripture has been one of the scriptures that have made me to know that I can do it. There's nothing I cannot do. Bring it, I will do it. Bring it. Just give me some time. I will take care of it. I will do it. Let's read that together. I want to go, please. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Christ strengthens me. So what? I can do all things. I have power inside of me. Christ strengthens me. So I can do all things. All things. Not because I have anything. Not because I have anything on my brain or I'm too strong. But I can do it because of the Holy Spirit. The Christ here is the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost is in me and His strength is me, He's my strengthener. I can do anything. I can achieve anything. I can do anything. Tell yourself, say, I can do anything. Say it again, say, I can do anything. See, you are loaded. I wish you know what is inside of you. I wish you know who you are. If you know who you are, you know that you are loaded. And you are not disadvantaged. You are advantaged. You being a child of God, you being a Christian, you are advantaged. You are advantaged. You are advantaged. You can achieve, you can conquer anything you want to achieve or conquer in this world. That should be your mindset.
I believe you've been blessed by this ministration. If you want to reach out to us, connect with us, or partner with us, kindly visit www.worldliberationministriesli.org.